Bibles this morning and turn with me in the Word of God to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians and chapter 2. The book of Ephesians and chapter 2. We'll begin reading with verse 1 and go down through verse 10. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. God, who is rich in mercy, for his love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This morning we want to talk about a work, or see a great work. We will be using verse 10 for that thought. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. First of all, we want to consider the work. The work. What is the work that is done here? It is the work of creating. For we are his workmanship, created. God, in saving some men, has to do what he did in the beginning, at the time of creation. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The word created there, and here in our text this morning, carry with it the idea and the thought that it is work that only God can do. Because only God can take nothing and make something. He makes something out of nothing. Only God can do that. We talk about man and his ability to build things. We even sometimes loosely say, well, that's a creation of so-and-so. Well, not in the literal sense of the word create. Not in the sense of the word create as used here in Scripture. For only God can truly create. Only God can make something with nothing. And so we see here that that is what God had to do in our verse this morning, in verse 10. There is nothing, as we read in verses 2 and 3 of our reading this morning, there is nothing good in man to begin with. Verse 1 said he's dead, trespasses, and sins. He's nothing. Man, in his natural state, is nothing. Turn with me to the book of Job. The book of Job, chapter 15. The book of Job in chapter 15, and we'll look down at verse 14. Through 16. The question is asked here, what is man that he should be clean? And he which is born of a woman, that he should be righteous? Behold, he putteth no trust in his saints. Yea, the heavens are not clean in his sight. How much more abominable and filthy is man which drinketh iniquity like water. Man in his natural state is said to drink iniquity, to drink sin like a water, like it's water. Here in these verses, we get the picture that man is nothing. Man is nothing. In the book of Romans, chapter 3, in verse 10, which is a quote from the Psalms, chapter 14, and verses 1 through 3, something of that order. It says in Romans 3, there is none righteous, no, not one. Back in the Psalms, there it said, there is none good. Not one. There is none good. There is none that are righteous. No, not one. Paul, feeling the weight of the war that raged within him, within his body, said in the book of Romans in chapter 7, in verse 18, he said, for I know that in me, and then in parentheses, he said, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. So we find within man, within his flesh, of which all, apart from God, apart from Christ Jesus, are nothing but flesh. They're nothing but carnal. They're nothing. They're nothing. But a sinner who is dead in trespasses and sins. But God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creation. He has been created anew. Old things are passed away, but all things are become new. Now back to our text in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 10. We want to notice also the worker. who is the worker? We've seen the work. The work is a work of creation, the work of creating, the work of taking and making something out of nothing. So secondly, we want to notice the worker. Who is the worker? His workmanship. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his, we're God's workmanship. God is the worker. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in chapter 100. And this is a blessed Psalms, and especially as we look at verse 3. Psalms 100 and verse 3. And every individual here this morning, every individual under the sound of my voice this morning, needs to know this verse. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, made me as I am this morning, as I stand here before you this morning, a saved individual. And now we ourselves, we are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And oh, how to the saved, to the sheep of His pasture, that verse brings a smile. That verse brings thoughts of joy and rejoicing to our hearts this morning, because we know that it was not of ourselves. We were dead. We were nothing. But God worked. God did a work of creation in creating me to be a sheep of His pasture. Like a skillful artist. Skillful artist takes his tools and he even takes that which he chooses to make something of. And he begins his work. And God, just like that skillful artist, selects his own material and implements. We have in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. Well, we're just there, not far away from it. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. And look at verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. That just amazes me. God, of all the people that God planned before the foundation of the world to create and to make and place upon this earth, He chose some of those people. He loved some of those people. And because He loved some of those people, He chose them specifically to do a work on. To do a work of creation, of sculpturing, and making them to be what He wanted them to be. That's a work of God. That's a work of grace. That's a work of unmerited favor. Why? Because He loved them. Because He loved them, He gave to them something which they would never have. Because He loved them, He withheld from them His wrath and judgment. which they were deserving of. That's grace, and that's mercy, because of his great love wherewith he loved them. He asked no counsel. He didn't ask anyone. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah in chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Look with me at verse 13. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord? Or being his counselor, hath taught him? Whom took he counsel? And who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and showed to him the way of understanding? No one. He didn't counsel anyone. No one directed him. No one instructed him. He didn't ask anyone anything. He done as of his own will. Of his own will. Just as he said in the book of Ephesians in chapter 1. The book of Ephesians and chapter 1 and verse 11, he says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Not another's. How could there have been anyone? How could there have been anyone for him to consult? He consulted no one but himself in the beginning. God. That's all there was. There was only God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Existing in three persons. And he consulted himself. And no one else did he consult. He worked all things after the counsel of his own will. Concerning this God and the work that he does, he speaks. And it is done. As we read through, do you believe Genesis 1? Do you believe Genesis 1 when it says, and God spoke, and it was so. And God spoke, and it was so. And God spoke, and it was so. Do you believe that? He created by the word of his power. In the book of Psalms, in chapter 33, and in verse 9, we have this statement. Concerning the works of creation. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. As I think about his work of creation, and how everything obeyed his word, and then he came down, and he made man. And we disobey. And we disobey his word. We disobey his commands. Did you know that all the rest of God's creation obey him? They don't go against him. But man, in his sinful nature, resist God, resist his will, refuse to obey his word. But God, it is God God, then, that does the work. It is God that worketh in you. The book of Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 13 and verse 8, all should be familiar with. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure, of His purpose. And He doesn't ask us whether that's pleasing to us or not. But He works in that which is pleasing to Him. And when He does that, none can stay His hand. None can say, hey, God, what do you think you're doing? Oh, I've heard some men that are so bold to make statements similar to that. I've heard some men so boldly and ignorantly and in open rebellion to God shake their fist at God or make a statement, not even God Himself can kill me. Steve Irwin. God showed him, didn't He? He took one of His creatures and rammed that barb right straight through his heart. Sometimes God just lets them go on in their foolish, ignorant ways. And sometimes He shows the rest of us He's still God. He's still God. And we had not ought to defy Him. He taught Nebuchadnezzar. Didn't he teach Nebuchadnezzar? Nebuchadnezzar thought he was something, thought he'd gotten this great kingdom of his all at his own hands and looked at all the wealth he had, and boy, he was the most powerful man in the world. God said, "You're going to go down on all fours and eat grass like the oxen. You're going to grow talons like eagles, feathers like the birds. You're going to do that for a period of time." And He did it. And when God restored to him his reasoning, you see, the beast doesn't have reasoning like we have. And he was as the beast of the field with reasoning. And God restored to him his reasoning. He extolled and magnified the God of heaven. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 35, we know that well, don't we? "And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou?" None can refute the work of Almighty God. Is that not what we read in the book of Acts? Turn with me to the book of Acts in chapter 11. Acts chapter 11 and verse 17. Peter is given a rehash and a testimony, testifying of the work of God upon the Gentiles, Cornelius and his house, and enough there so that they were an assembly, a Gentile assembly of Cornelius. And he says, in verse 17, he says, "For as much then as God gave them," that Gentile assembly, "the Holy Spirit came down on them, gave them the like gift, as He did unto us Jews," the Jewish assembly at Jerusalem, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ at Jerusalem, the Gentiles, saved Gentiles were receiving the same likeness unto us who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What was I, or who was I, what was I, Peter, who am I, what am I, that I could withstand God, that I could refute the work, or that I could stop the work of God. Peter said, I'm nobody, I'm nothing compared to Almighty God. I'm just a man. I live and move and breathe at His will and pleasure. You do as well. You live and move and breathe according to the will of God. Now going back to our text, chapter 2 of Ephesians 10. The workmanship. Who is the workmanship? Or who is the one? What is being produced here? What is being created here? For we that are saved, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. You see, consider the workmanship of the worker, of the creator, of the one, of the artist. It has a character. It carries on the even in paintings of famous artists who make paintings. It has a certain character that it is his signature, his design. And it is so with the workmanship of God. We are His workmanship. It carries on the character of the workman. And it is seen in His workmanship. The beautiful sculpture or paintings that we just described manifest the skill of the artist. And so you and I that are saved, you and I that are His workmanship, we manifest the skill of the artist. We manifest the skill of the worker of God. We are the exhibition of God's gracious handiwork. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of the Psalms in Chapter 138. Psalms 138, and look with me here at verse 8. Last verse of that chapter. It says, the Lord will perfect. That word perfect just means complete. Bring to completion. And we know that everything that God does is perfect. It's right. So He is going to complete that work in perfection. The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the works of thine own hands. The Lord is going to perfect. He is going to bring to perfect completion that which concerneth me as being His workmanship. Now, look with me at the 139th Psalm and look what he says here in verse 14. Verse 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. When I first seen that verse, I probably mostly applied to that verse the word man, God's creation of man. When He made man, and man is, His body, He is different, He is higher, He is separate from all the rest of God's creation. He is fearfully and wonderfully made. But then you begin to see that not only are we as a man, faithfully and wonderfully made in the work of my salvation, in the work of creating me a new creature in Christ Jesus, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Oh, I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are His works. Marvelous are His works. Every creation is a monument. Get this. Every creation of God, and God's work of grace, that's what we're talking about here in the second chapter of the book of Ephesians this morning, in verse 10. Every Christian is a monument of God's love, of God's mercy, of God's patience, of God's holiness. Turn with me to the book of 1 Timothy. The book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy in chapter 1. And the Apostle Paul is here in this to Timothy, letter to Timothy, in this first chapter, is describing himself before being saved, and God taking that and doing a marvelous work of grace upon him. And he said, it had said in verse 15, he said, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." I am first. I am the worst. "Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me being the first," being the chief, being the worst sinner, "Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting." Now, if the Apostle Paul, if Saul of Tarsus was the worst of all sinners, if he was just stands out there, and probably to that known world at that time, he did. He stood out. He was known by Christians all over. He was known by unsaved men all over the world as being Saul the persecutor. Persecuting those that be in the way, those that were in Christ Jesus, those that were in His church. And the Lord takes, Jesus Christ takes, and He saves Paul. He makes of him a pattern. And so Paul is able to go into the world and look at what God did for Paul. Look what God did for this vile, wretched, bad sinner that he was. He's able to do it for anyone. If he can do it for Paul, who's the worst, he's able to do it for anyone. Paul says, what a monument Paul was of God's love, of God's mercy, of God's patience, God's holiness. Turn with me. We have another wonderful description in the book of Romans. The book of Romans in chapter 9, in verse 22, it gives us this idea, and we can see the monument here. In verse 22, it says, "What if God, willing to show His wrath," and He is, "and to make His power known," and He is and will make His power known in His wrath, "endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, those who will not believe, those who delight in the works of darkness." They go on in their works of darkness because they love their evil deeds. John chapter 3, verse 17, 18, 19. And yes, God is going to make his power known by his wrath upon those vessels. But he endures them with much long suffering, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy. There's why he's enduring those vessels of wrath, those vessels fitted for destruction. He's enduring them with long suffering because he has some vessels that he has prepared for glory. He has chosen before the foundation of the world. He loved them. He chose them. And he has determined that they are going to be saved. And so he is enduring all the evil and all the wicked men that are out there today until those be saved. The riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Back to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I want you to see this glorious manifestation. In verses 7, and hath raised us up together and made us, we who are but God, we were dead in trespasses, but God, for his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, by grace we're saved. We are the vessels of grace, the instruments of his mercy, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. If you be in Christ Jesus this morning, you're seated where Jesus says, you're seated at the right hand of the Father in Christ. And notice what he says in verse 7 then, that in ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Yes, through Christ Jesus we're going to be on display. Monuments. Trophies of his grace, trophies of his love, of his grace, of his mercy, of his patience, and of his holiness as well. Are we a credit to him? Are we a credit to him? Yes. He loves us dearly. He's fashioning us after the image of his beloved Son, Romans 8, 29 and 30, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, get this, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. There's the completion of the work that he purposed on me. There's the perfect completion of it. That glorification. When now soul is made perfect, the spirit is because of the soul, is there. But one day, this body is going to be made perfect, glorified. A body like his glorious body, without sin. Not even the thought of sin. No wicked thought. We can't comprehend all that. We know it's so, and we know it's going to be glorious, but we can't fathom that really, you know. But we're with great anticipation waiting that day. We are created unto good works, he said in our verse. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We are created. So fear not. We have this assurance that he has begun a work in us and he's going to complete it. In chapter 1 and verse 6, Philippians 1 and verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, when we'll be changed like unto his glorious body. We will be perfect, entire, complete, as we stand and behold him face to face. The workshop. We've talked about the work of creation. Well, every worker has to have a workshop. We've talked about what's that being created? We are. Well, where's this workshop? Where's God's workshop? Well, he said in our text, created in Christ Jesus. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. His workshop is in Christ Jesus. He is saved, whether it be in the USA, or whether it be in Egypt, or whether it be in Israel, or whether it be in Russia, or whether it be in China, or Iran, or Iraq, or wherever it be, there's a soul that is in the workshop in Christ Jesus, in God's workshop, Christ Jesus. He is in Christ. In Christ Jesus, we're fashioned. How? We're fashioned after the divine pattern. Romans 8:29 says he has determined us to be conformed to the image of his Son. There's the pattern. His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the pattern. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews. In chapter 8, and here he's talking about Christ, our great high priest, but he's talking also about the earthly priests that were so in the days of Israel and Judah. And those earthly priests, in verse 4 says, for if he were on earth, he should not be a priest concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He would not be a priest if he were on earth, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. That is those earthly priests, those priests that were in the days of Moses, that were established by Moses and continue is Israel's history. They were a shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. In the mount, Moses was given instructions for all the building of the tabernacle, which was representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. You make this tabernacle according to the pattern, according to Jesus Christ. You make the things concerning the priesthood and everything was to be done with them, and their clothing and their garments and everything that was to be on them, and the work that they were to do was to, according to the pattern, according to Jesus Christ. It was to picture and to look at Jesus Christ. So as you look at the priesthood, as you look at the tabernacle or the temple, you see Jesus Christ in it. We today that are saved, we're priests and kings. We are made according to the pattern. We're being made according to the pattern. We're being conformed to the image of Jesus, dear Son, abiding in Christ, We're abiding in the workshop. We're in God's workshop. And we're being fashioned. We're being conformed. We're being made according to the pattern, according to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We told you that just as the work of the artist displays certain characteristics, that it is this artist, so we, being the work of God, display the character and image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Abiding in Him, we abide in the workshop of Almighty grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 in closing says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry." Don't know what that means? Ye are God's cultivated field. You're God's work. You're God's workmanship. Ye are God's building. That word building there means you're God's creation. We that are saved by the grace of God are God's creation. We are His work. And what a work it is. It is a great work. It is a work that man cannot do. Only God could do. Shall we stand together? Song and close.